Gopijanava Rava Girivada Dadihi Gopijanava Rava Girivada Dadihi Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Rara Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dadihi Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dadihi Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Rara Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Rara Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya Om Vishnipad Paramahamsa Pariraja Chari Akshotara Sutra Shri Shri Marjavanya Shri Bhaktivinoda Swami Shri Prabhupada Ji Shantaraj Shri Madhvagata Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Nithai Gaurupai
All glories to some devotees. All glories to some devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Continue readings from Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 6 through 8. Text 7 is on the board, so I'll read text 6.
Jagku kinara gandharvas tushtuvu siddhacharana vidyadharyas chanan ritur apsarobhi samamuda.
Translation: the kinaras and gandharvas began to sing auspicious songs.
The siddhas and charanas offered auspicious prayers, and the vidyadharis, along with the apsaras, began to dance in jubilation. Text 7. Mumuchur munayo deva sumanang si mudan vita mandam mandam jaladhara jagrajur anusagaram mumuchur munayo deva sumanam si mudanvita mandam mandam jaladhara jarajur anusagaram mumuchur munayo deva sumanam si mudanvita mandam mandam jaladhara jarajur anusagaram.
Anyone else like to chant? Okay, text 8.
Nishite tama udbhute jayanmane janardane ivakyam deva rupinyam vishnu sarva guhashaya avirasiddhita pratyam tishindur iva pulkala pushkala.
Word for word, mumuchuhu, showered,
munayo,
all the great sages and saintly persons,
deva,
and the demigods,
sumanamsi,
very beautiful and fragrant flowers,
muda anvita,
being joyous in their attitude,
mandam mandam,
very mildly.
Jaladhara,
the clouds.
Jagadju,
vibrated.
Anusagaram,
following the vibrations of the sea waves. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, the demigods and great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood, and clouds gathered in the sky and very mildly thundered, making sounds like those of the ocean's waves. Then, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon. Because Devaki was of the same category as Sri Krishna. Report, as stated in the Brahma Samhita 537, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratitavitabhis Tabhir Ya Eva Nija Rupataya Kalabhi Goloka Eva Niva Satya Kilatma Bhuto Govindamari Purusham Dhammaham Bhajami.
This verse indicates that Krishna and his entourage are of the same spiritual potency, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Krishna's father, his mother, his friends, the coward boys, and the cows are all expansions of Krishna, as will be explained in the Brahman Vimohan Lila. When Brahma took away Krishna's associates to test the supremacy of Lord Krishna, the Lord expanded himself again in the forms of the many cowherd boys and calves, all of whom, as Brahma saw, were Vishnu Murtis. Devaki is also an expansion of Krishna, therefore this verse says, Devakyam Devarupinyam Vishnu Sarva Guha Shaya. At the time for the Lord's appearance, the great sages and the demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers. At the seashore there was a sound of mild waves, and above the sea there were clouds in the sky which began to thunder very pleasingly. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared to the rising of the full moon in the sky on the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty wherein the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So, by the grace of Krishna, he could appear as a full moon. To welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the waning moon became a full moon in jubilation. Instead of Deva Rupinyam, some texts of Srimad Bhagavatam clearly say Vishnu Rupinyam. That is what is mentioned in this version. In either case, the meaning is that Devaki has the same spiritual form as the Lord. The Lord is Satchidananda Vigraha, and Devaki is also Satchidananda Vigraha. Therefore, no one can find any fault in the way the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satchidananda Vigraha, appeared from the womb of Devaki. Those who are not in full knowledge that the appearance and disappearance of the Lord are transcendental, janma karma chame divyam, are sometimes surprised that the Supreme Personality of God can take birth as an ordinary child. Actually, however, the Lord's birth is never ordinary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is already situated within the core of everyone's heart as Antaryami, the Super Soul. That's because he was present in full potency in Devaki's heart, he was also able to appear outside her body. One of the 12 great personalities is Bhishma Dev. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Komara Kapilomanu Palado Janako Bhishma. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1942, Bhishma, great authority to be followed by devotees, says that the Supreme Personality of God is situated in the core of everyone's heart, just as the sun may be on everyone's head. Yet although the sun may be on the heads of millions and millions of people, this does not mean that the sun is variously situated. Similarly, because the Supreme Personality of God has inconceivable potencies, he can be within everyone's heart and yet not be situated variously. Ekatvam anupashataha, Ishopanishad, text 7. The Lord is one, but he can appear in everyone's heart by his inconceivable potency. Thus, although the Lord was within the heart of Devaki, he appeared as her child. According to the Vishnu Purana, therefore, as quoted in the Vaishnava Toshani, the Lord appeared like the sun, anugrahasya. The Brahma Samhita confirms that the Lord is situated even within the atom, andhantarashta paramanyu chayantarashtam. He is situated in Mathura, in Vaikuntha, and in the core of the heart. Therefore, one should clearly understand that he did not live like an ordinary child in the heart or womb of Devaki, nor did he appear like an ordinary human child, although he seemed to do so in order to bewilder asuras like Kamsa. The asuras wrongly think that Krishna took birth like an ordinary child and passed away from this world like an ordinary man. Such asura conceptions are rejected by persons in knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishwaro pisan. Bhagavad Gita 4:6. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is Aja, unborn, and he is the supreme controller of everything. Nonetheless, he appeared as the child of Devaki. This verse describes the inconceivable potency of the Lord, who appeared like the full moon. Understanding the special significance of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should never regard him as having taken birth like an ordinary child.
Om Agyatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Translation repeated. The demigods and great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood, and clouds gathered in the sky and very mildly thundered, making sounds like those of the ocean's waves. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was of the same category as Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna, we ask for the blessings, all the devotees here. We can take a look at the important verse, pastime. This is a very monumental, actually important pastime. The appearance of the Supreme Lord in this material world, and we were having some discussion on these different types of avatars that come. Yet here we have the appearance of the avatari, the original form of God. So like all of his activities, they're very mysterious. Krishna says, Gyanam paramaguya me tadvigyanam sahanvitam. He says to Lord Brahma that knowledge about myself is very confidential, and it is learned in conjunction with devotional service. And Krishna uses this word confidential very frequently throughout the Gita also. He says even the knowledge between the body and the soul, this is confidential knowledge. So how can we understand? This seems for us, this is very basic from day one. We're telling you're not this body. But Gita is saying actually this is confidential knowledge. Why is it confidential? Because people don't know it. So Krishna's appearance, his activities, his janma, and his departure also, his leaving, they're all very mysterious. And it's mentioned here, why? To bewilder the asuras. To bewilder atheistic people. Krishna reserves the right not to reveal himself. He doesn't impose himself on anyone. He doesn't require that you must worship me, you must know me. No. He says, I'm the Supreme Lord. I love you. You're my dear part and parcel. Please come back to me. That's Krishna's mood. And therefore, the intricacies can only be learned through the disciplic succession, through those who've realized Krishna, like this Bhagavad Gita as it is. So why is Srila Prabhupada hammering so much this point? Krishna's birth is not ordinary. It's not material. Because people who are not in the disciplic succession, they don't have this access to truth, sat. They come up with so many ideas and speculations. And Prabhupada said, therefore, they have ruined this Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, we're presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because so many Swamis have come, so many Bhagavad Gitas are there, and they're simply misleading people. Just imagine you translate a whole book, and then you say that this never happened. This people don't. So Prabhupada's mission was to establish Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all of his activities are transcendental. Janma karma chame divyam. So Mayavadis and people who are just ignorant, they take Krishna's birth in a different way. So Prabhupada is taking the opportunity to very clearly establish so we can understand it, not only just for ourselves, but so we can actually share this message in the world. What Prabhupada is doing, it's like there's a huge wave, tsunami coming, and then one person has to try to push it all back. That's like what Prabhupada is doing. So this whole
Mayavad tsunami. That's what came to the Western world when Vivekananda and all these so-called gurus, and they started teaching bewildering, very ignorant or innocent people the Western world. They don't know anything about Krishna. They don't know anything about Vedas. So they, because it's the age of Kali, so these things are bound to abound in this material world. But Prabhupada took such a hard stance, and therefore his purports are not only very poetic and devotional, but they're very cutting. They're very demanding. So that is also our service, to imbibe and also be an agent of the distribution of that knowledge. It's not enough just to receive it. Actually, it's incomplete. You can't just receive it. The process of receiving knowledge is through service. We don't receive knowledge by reading books. Krishna says, Bhakti Mam Abhijananti. Through devotional service, one can understand me as I am. So this is the first step, receiving the knowledge, but then to implement that, to get the realization of that, then we have to go on this preaching mission. Prabhupada's movement is a preaching movement. Prabhupada said, without preaching, you can't go on with this Haribol, Haribol. Meaning, the preaching is required to generate the enthusiasm. And we see that when we do that, we feel the special potency. That when we read the books, wow, we get realization. When we chant, wow, we get a very deep experience. So, this is also Krishna's teaching. Not, Krishna says in the 18th chapter, not chat tasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritamaha bhavita na cha me tasmat anyad bhavataro bhuvi. In this whole world, no one is more dear to me than one who teaches this secret to the devotees, one who becomes a preacher, and they help others surrender to Krishna, because that's Krishna's desire. So, this process has everything we need. We require satisfaction. We require some relief from the blazing forest fire of the material modes of nature. They're always assailing us. Therefore, this episode also has esoteric significance in the sense that there were 6 children killed before Krishna's appearance, right? And those represent, in the life of a sadhaka, these 6 enemies of the soul. Kam, Krodha, Moha, Madana, Matsarya, but I forgot one. Yeah, Kam, Krodha, Lobha, Madan, Mohan, Matsarya. So these are the enemies in our spiritual life. And when Krishna appears, in the transcendental mind of David, of Vasudeva originally, that Prabhupada mentions, this is the Vasudeva consciousness. Pure Krishna consciousness, that can give birth to Krishna. We hear that Krishna is in our heart, but how to realize that? We have to get free from these 6 enemies. Kama, lust. We have these material senses, they're always craving some engagement. It's interesting, I was at a music festival distributing some books, and sometimes you get a lot of realizations when you're particularly trying to help people, and whatever small way we can, try to help share Krishna consciousness. Because you're going against the flow. You're going against the current. The whole current is going and pushing people in one way, and you're trying to change their orientation in life. So I was just a Shripnuk, and I just saw these people are really in trouble. In one sense, these people are really screwed. We've developed about material body. We've achieved a material body which is constantly 24 hours a day hankering for sense gratification. It's like such a punishment that we have. It's like, how can someone get out of this? This is practically impossible, that once you get the material body, their whole life is simply centered around satisfying these bodily urges. To undergo the tapasya, It's like a practically mission impossible task for most embodied living beings. Therefore, it's after many, many lifetimes. We just see that in this world of samsara, people think, yeah, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm good, you're good, everything's cool. But the fact of the matter is that they're in deep, you know, stuff. They're in deep trouble. Anyone with a material body, they have a very serious existential problem going on. It's a very serious condition, although the doctors won't be able to, you know, give you a prognosis for that, or diagnosis, because they're also sick. So you have to go to the, Prabhupada says, the devotee physician. He can prescribe the right medicine. And what is that medicine? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Very easy, right? We took it, now we're cured. That was easy. But it's not so easy. As we mentioned, we have these six obstacles that are assailing the consciousness. We mentioned lust, kam, krodha, anger. When the anger takes over our consciousness, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Krishna explains in Gita, this is the beginning of the downfall. Senses require something. If they don't get it, then the consciousness becomes polluted. Kam, krodha. What's the next? Lobha. Greed. No matter what we get, we're not satisfied. So all of these anarthas, they're coming from an initial dissatisfaction in our soul. Therefore, they're being manifest in this external realm. The soul is not feeling satisfaction in his relationship with Krishna, or her relationship with Krishna. That's the fundamental root of the problem. Therefore, the real only remedy, as we mentioned, is hearing and chanting about Krishna. Because Krishna is what the soul wants. The soul cannot be happy without Krishna. It doesn't matter what type of yoga, what type of so-called spiritual practice, unless the soul comes in contact with Krishna, how he can be happy? How can the fish ever be happy? So our soul is thirsting. We have to help ourselves by taking the initiative to hear and chant about Krishna. We can't just expect that because I've joined this movement, okay, I'm on the ship back to Godhead, smooth sailing. We have to take the responsibility for our spiritual life and make the investment in very careful, dedicated hearing and chanting, association of devotees. That's giving the food to the soul. Sometimes we're distributing books and the people say, I only got $5 and I gotta get a, you know, whatever, sandwich. I need a smoothie. This is $8, this is for my smoothie. We say, this is food for the soul, which is more important. It doesn't usually work, but the point is a good point. So, therefore, all these books, why so many books? How big is the 10th canto? How many volumes is this 10th canto? Or even the Krishna book? Prabhupada, just by reading this Krishna book, you can get everything. I think we have to go through so many different books. Hearing about Krishna directly from the lips, or the mouth, or the conscience of a pure devotee who's in a direct, personal, loving relationship with Krishna. So, to hear from those who are in that relationship, that helps us come to that platform. Kam, krodha, lobha, man. How's mana? Madan. Anger. No, we said anger. Pride. Madan, pride. This is our obstacle, pride. The root of the conflicts that we have is the false pride only. It's just the egos, the clashing of the egos. Therefore, Krishna says in the Gita, in order to get out of the modes, one has to see how they're working. He who can observe how the modes are working, he can be released from their grip. As long as we're still not trained how to understand the interaction of the modes, then we're under their grip. So the pride, the false ego, is there in every conditioned soul. And the only remedy that Mahaprabhu said you have to wear it on your neck. Trinadapi sunichena tadorapi. If I actually feel how fallen I am, I don't deserve any respect. Why should anyone give me respect? Then I won't be agitated when I'm not respected. Being in the material world, naturally, I'm not going to be respected. But if I'm expecting the respect and it doesn't come, then I get bent out of shape. So this is the real sadhana. This one verse. This is like, sometimes this is also described as a maha mantra, this verse, because this is the encapsulation of our whole philosophy. That's how to chant Hare Krishna. We can't chant Hare Krishna when the mind is so bewildered. The mind, the consciousness is overtaken. How can we approach chant peacefully when the mind is so... First thing is to... Like, we want to chant, but if our devotee, if our relationships with other devotees is not proper, how can we approach Krishna? Krishna says, no, first we fix our relationships and then try to chant and then try to approach Krishna. Otherwise, our mind will just be so distracted. And offering respect to others. I don't deserve any respect, but I should see that everyone else does. Everyone else is a great person. They're a devotee. They're very special. They're very dear to Krishna. I should learn to respect others. Then I can chant Kirtaniya Sadahari. That's our goal. The goal of Krishna consciousness is only achieved by this constant chanting of the holy name. Constant chanting. If we're not constantly chanting, then we know we're not there. We're not close to the goal. To chant the pure holy name, that is achieved through the constant chanting. That's our goal. All of our spiritual life is just to augment and purify how we can chant Krishna's name. Because Krishna is non-different from the name. That's how we worship Krishna in this age. Moha, illusion, bodily concept. Therefore, when things come in our life, we take it so seriously. Like, this is such a big, huge deal. But if we understand how this 13th chapter, nature, enjoyer, and consciousness, the field and the knower of the field, have we assimilated that concept? There's a field and there's a knower of the field. So this realm is the field, but we're the knower of the field. So this realm is not the all-in-all. This is just a testing ground of our consciousness to see where we're at. We become so identified in this realm, this bodily concept of life. We think that is the reality. Then all our eggs are in the wrong basket, so to speak. From step one, then, we're in the wrong platform. And all of the other subsequent equations, they won't be able to fructify. So therefore, we have to constantly remind ourselves and train and learn to see, no, this is not the bodily reality. It's a reality show. I had this dream last night, actually, that I was in this strange realm. All these people, they were dressed up and they were playing like characters. They were all playing parts that they were not. It was like a bizarre thing. Like, everyone was like purposely trying to be something they're not, with costumes and behaviors and moods. And that had become the norm. And so everyone was in this world where they're intentionally trying to be something they're not. And everyone was, as I said, they were kind of screwed. And I was there, I was like, well, what is going on? What's wrong with these people? Like, everyone's playing this game. And it was very scary because there was no way out of the game. Everyone was trapped. And then somehow I got to the library. And I was looking in the library, and I found one of Prabhupada's books. And this made me appreciate book distribution so much, that this one book was there in that library. That one book has the potential to get everyone out of that illusion, without which they can't get out. Even there were so many other books in the religion section, the different sections. No, but Prabhupada's book, that's how powerful Prabhupada's book was. We were hearing that Prabhupada said, but Prabhupada, what's the destination of someone who just sees or touches the book or appreciates the book? Prabhupada said just by appreciating, he'll not go down in lower form of life. If he just appreciates this, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe, Yoga Bhashta Vijayate, that he'll take a good birth and be able to begin again. Why? Just because he touched it, he appreciated it. He said, I like these books. They said, but Prabhupada, he's just keeping one book on his bookshelf. But he likes it very much. He's appreciating it. He says, these books are so nice. He's not even reading it. Prabhupada said, still, that's the power of these books. So there was this one book there, and I thought, wow, this book has the power. Because one book can start a whole revolution, actually. One person can read that book. They can become a devotee. And then what do? They make more devotees. In time, the exact paradigm could shift. There could be whole communities of devotees. So that was cool. That was like a spiritual dream. It doesn't happen so often. So, come out of illusion. Matsarya, envy. Someone is higher than me. No! Someone's getting more respect. This is the end of my life. I'll jump in the Ganges. But again, Mahaprabhu gave us the remedy. No. Chanadapi suniche na. Better they get more respect. Why I'm getting any respect? What have I done? If anyone's giving me respect, they're a fool. I don't deserve any respect. But why I'm so fallen that I can't respect others? They're doing so many nice things. So these are the enemies that have to be removed so that Krishna can appear. And Krishna wants to appear. Here he's appearing in front of us in the pages of Bhagavatam. And that's described like the full moon. It's such a beautiful, we've all seen the picture. Krishna appearing in the prison house, effulgent, the symbols of Vishnu. And Vasudeva and Devaki, they're so emotional, they begin offering prayers. They're just wrapped in gratitude. And they're overcome with emotion. But then Mother Devaki, she says, we're in a prison, and Kamsa's there. If they see you, then I don't think it will be good. Can you please conceal yourself? Krishna says, okay. And takes this adorable, addictive baby form. Krishna says, this is the highest aspiration for the Vatsalya inclined devotees. Little beautiful baby Krishna. Everyone is so attracted to children. Whenever there's a baby, everyone gets into a baby mood. And we can play with the baby, so cute. Where is it coming from? It's coming from Krishna. Krishna is the real baby. He's the original baby. We're so mad for babies in this world. Just imagine the Krishna baby. That will purify our heart like anything. That will give us ecstatic love of God if we get attracted to that baby. But we like so many babies in this world. That's okay. But the real, if you really want the baby bhav, check out Krishna's childhood pastimes. You're not going to get any imitations in this world. So then Krishna will also grow up and he will satisfy all the devotees. This is one of the symptoms of Krishna, that he gave everyone transcendental pleasure. He gave the coward boys transcendental pleasure. Prabhupada said, this is a sign that he was God. You think, how is that? But to actually fully satisfy the soul, give someone full transcendental pleasure, only Krishna can do that. Again, so that we feel that self-satisfaction, so we're not so invested and bewildered by this material realm. So I'll just conclude with this beautiful purport. 1865. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhya jimam namaskuru mamevaishyasi satyam te priti jana priyosime. Always think of me. Always think of me. That's not very easy. And he means it. Always think of me. That requires a lot of purification. As we said, we have to come to the higher modes of nature. These enemies are in the lower modes, passion and ignorance. But the goodness is the platform where we're... Our head is going above the waves of these lower modes, and therefore these enemies are subdued. When the mode of goodness is prominent, then the anger, the envy, the illusion, they are pacified because knowledge and happiness are arising. That's required to, we're just trying. We're trying to think of Krishna once in a while. You know, maybe once a day, I actually think of Krishna. But the standard is always think of Krishna. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage to me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Prabhupada says, the most confidential part of knowledge, so this is even more confidential, the most confidential, is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator, or chanting our rounds as an official. I'm doing my official meditation. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. Now, the next paragraph. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind on Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, Varaha, but a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. So I'll stop there. Shri Krishna ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there's any questions, comments. Hare Krishna. Yes, Shravan Prabhupada. Can you get the mic, Prabhu? Yes, the Mataji is climbing on the shoulder.
We enthusiastically and eagerly want to see Jagannath then climbed at the shoulder of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is appreciating the Mataji's enthusiastic, regardless of she's climbing on the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. You know, one young brahmachari coming, oh lady, you get down, you don't know. She was chastised, but at the same time, she was very much touched by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with that enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. So if you could speak on that, that will be great today.
Is there a particular angle? Or because you've summarized the pastime pretty well. This is all of the Lord's pastimes, he's executing many functions. He's doing many things at one time. So, initially we see that it's not proper what she's doing. It's not proper at all. But she has what we're hearing about here, the eagerness actually to see the Supreme Lord, which is not very easy. It says, Krishna's purchased how through our eagerness. So she's so desperate that she doesn't even know what she's doing. She's committing a big offense. She's climbing on the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, putting her foot on his shoulder. This is like Maha Aparad. And therefore, it's the devotees, they are not wrong to correct and say, this is against the Vaishnava behavior. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's in Mahabhav. So he's Uttam. In the Uttam consciousness, he's seeing Krishna, two hands playing a flute, Jagannath. And he's demonstrating absolute humility. So therefore, he's not even conscious of what's going on. And when he understands the situation, and he sees his associate rebuking that lady, he thinks, what kind of uncultured person are you? What kind of uncivilized person are you? This lady is eager to see Lord Jagannath and you have forbidden her. And he chastises. So he's doing many things. He's correcting his devotee. He's offering proper respect. And he is setting the standard also. But at the same time, internally his moods are very, you know, oftentimes he externally displays something, but internally he feels something else. So he has to act for yada, you know, yad yada charity shrestas. He's setting the example for the behavior. So those are some thoughts, but thank you. Is that okay? Jai Baladev.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You made so many wonderful points. I'll narrow it down, but what was that phrase for pride? Manda? Or what was it? I forgot.
Madan.
Madness. I'll use the English. Okay, pride. basically, the one thing that came to mind, maybe you could elaborate on it, is that we see that during Krishna's birth, there were signs that he was a great personality. Obviously, this mentions some of them. The moon, the waning moon became a full moon. And so when Prabhupada was born, it was signs he was a great personality. When Bhaktisiddhanta, he had the umbilical cord. So many signs of these. So we see that there are the smarter brahmanas who are proud of their signs. And then there were the smart brahmanas, Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktisiddhanta, who weren't proud of their signs. And so one thing I keep in mind is that we see that even though the smart brahmanas, they had all favorable signs, good astrologies, that will be great preachers, will be successful. And then we look at Prabhupada's disciples' astrology. It's like, ooh, you don't want to know. They committed all types, broke all the four regular principles, one or more of them. But yeah, how is it that they were able to spread Krishna consciousness more than anyone throughout the world? Krishna Shakti, Kali Kaleta Dharma, Krishna Nama Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Vina, and also Prabhupada's association. So one of my favorite quotes, and maybe you could expand on this, it says, surround yourself with the dreamers and the doers, the believers and the thinkers, but most of all, surround yourself with those who see the greatness within you, even when you don't see it within yourself. That verse says, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gabihastini Shuni Chaiva Swapakicha Pandita Samadarshana. So what are some steps we can move forward to give up this pride that from my background, I could do anything, and somebody else has a background, they can't. But Krishna is a supreme controller. He can reverse the things. It doesn't matter how many favorable signs. So what are some steps we could do to keep ourselves enthusiastic if we come from a messed up background? What are some steps we could do to stay humble if we think we come from a favorable background?
That this is actually one of the reasons why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave very high positions to those not born in Brahmin families. He made Haridas Thakur the Namacharya, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, so many others that were not, this was his particular mission, part of his mission, to remove the false idea that one has to be qualified, you know, in a material sense, in order to be advanced in bhakti. And as we see, as Krishna consciousness spreads, so many powerful devotees coming from Western background. So anyone, as you said, who's smart or learned, then they accept. And that's really all our concern. If someone doesn't, we don't get bent out of shape about it. And the other point is that sometimes it's good if people don't respect us, if people don't honor us. When you go to Jagannath Puri as a Westerner, see, what we say is that actually we might, I'm going to go on a limb here, but I'm going to say the Westerners, we get more mercy. Because we get actually embarrassed, we get humbled so much that is the real mercy of Krishna, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And we're feeling, oh, this is so nice. Because of my sinful activity, I have this body. I'm not qualified. You are qualified. You go. So normally we don't get that. Anyone can come to Krishna Balaram Mandir. The other thing is that sometimes we think we're in a position, and so we're due a certain amount of respect or prestige. But I find the best mercy, it comes when we are corrected by someone who's not practicing devotional service at all. Like
materialistic society or the karmis, some karmi person. Because what happens when you practice devotional service, you in the society of devotees, you get some respect and you get some position, whatever it may be, whatever little bit it is there. But the ego is still acting as devotees. So now we're thinking, yeah, I'm such and such devotee. Now I'm on this platform and I deserve this much respect. Yeah, because I'm a devotee, that's what I am due. But when someone who has no conception, and there in the material world, everyone is equal. No one gets any respect. You think you're someone special here? Devotees will never do that because they'll think, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Like, but a material world, just say, what are you doing, man? Like, you're in the wrong place. Like, get out of here. You're like, you just get totally flustered, bewildered, you know? But the greatest purification can come sometimes in that situation from people, karmi world. Because that then it's like, oh yeah, I'm so puffed up. Who am I thinking? I think I'm better than someone. I think I'm superior to someone. In of itself, that's illusion. Even if it's, yeah, because I'm a practicing devotee. No, the atmas are equal. The atmas are all equal. One may be gifted with mercy, but that doesn't make me better than anyone. Like that. So that's a thought. Hare Krishna.
My question was, I was going to ask you how to apply Trinadapi Sunichena Tarurapi Sahishnana for people in the material world who don't understand devotees when they take advantage of us. And you just explained, you know, very well. So is that purification for us, that Krishna is testing us?
It's purification for us, for sure. Krishna's direct hand is there in a devotee's life in every moment, in every time. So we should take it like that. We should see things, whatever happens to us. Yes, Krishna is teaching me. He's humbling me.
So how do you see a material person, you know, while they are not seeing that you are applying this towards them, but they are not understanding that? How do you see them?
How do we see them?
As in, you know, how do you understand that they will not understand?
Oh yeah, so we understand that the modes of nature are acting on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore we don't actually condemn people.
Okay.
We understand that they're under the modes of nature. And therefore there is some discrepancy in their behavior, in their consciousness. But the saying is, hate the sin, not the sinner. That a devotee feels compassion, that they're unfortunate, actually.
Right.
They haven't yet received the mercy or the fortune. So we can point out what they're doing wrong, but we don't want to develop enmity toward any living entity. It just says, Mamaya Vamso Jiva Loke. And here we're hearing that all the expansions of Krishna, including the Jiva Shakti, they're emanations from Krishna. So if I become totally upset or angry, or I feel enmity towards someone, that's my own offense. It's a Jiva Aparad. I can be upset with the way they're acting and what they're doing, but we don't want to harbor enmity, unless they're a demon. If they're very much opposed, then that's the devotees can feel enmity towards someone who's acting antagonistically toward Krishna and his cause. But most people in Kali Yuga, they're just ignorant. They don't know. They're coming from these bad backgrounds. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Jitendra and Pranahari. And then we'll have to wind up soon.
Me?
Sure. Yeah, he was next.
Oh, I just thought, is it appropriate to make a few remarks about this desire for honor that you're speaking of?
Sure.
Because I've been researching a little bit, and I found some good stuff. Well, I heard this presentation by Urmila Mataji, who spoke about the six opulences, you know, strength, fame, riches, all that. And she said behind all of them is this fame. She said everyone is trying to be Bhagavan, possessor of opulences in this world. But the most important one people are searching out is fame. If one's very strong, it's not enough to be strong. They want to be honored for that. They want to be famous. Learned, same thing. They want to be famous and honored because of their learning. they're renounced. They want to be, so this fame, I don't forget what it is, it's Yasha or Kirti, one of those. So they want to be famous, so this desire for honor is very prominent. And this was on her Manashiksha presentation. So in Raghunath Das Goswami's Manashiksha, the desire for honor is compared to a dog-eating prostitute who's flagrantly dancing within the courtyard of the heart and who's dancing with her consort, who is deceit. So she was explaining that this is the background, this is the backbone of all anartas, is this desire for honor, because through that desire for honor, we become duplicitous and deceitful and put on so many masks and false egos, layers of false ego. And so I found this amazing quote I just wanted to share because I thought it was unbelievably profound from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's in the Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, the third volume. And it's just a list of various quotes. And it goes, we must be ever ready to sweep from our hearts with the hard application of thousands of pointed broomsticks, the wicked desire to be honored above other Vaishnavas. We will attain service at the lotus feet of Krishna the very day that we give up the evil desire to be honored above others. So, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Okay, last point, Jitendra.
This is a follow-up on the discussion.
I think Jitendra was next.
Honored me. Our offerings, practice of devotional in a generalized term, not specifically, is being accepted by Srila Prabhupada and then goes to acharyas. So one's enthusiasm is also accepted by Srila Prabhupada in one sense, because his state, power, prema is different. In that sense, it's okay to be enthusiastic, regardless of sometimes we may not recognize the etiquette. It's okay, knowing that the founder of Acharya is very merciful, very loving, and his board is so big, everyone can fit into it. It's okay.
Thank you.
I was thinking the devotees were on Harinam one day, and this guy came up and he says, "Where you guys been? I haven't seen you in years." And then he said, "You're not doing your job." And then, you know, I think somebody said, "Well, what do you do?" And the guy said, "Well, like, I'm a butcher or something, you know." Yeah, so I don't know. As far as honor and dishonor, you know, it shouldn't. It says we shouldn't disturb sentient beings. You know, so maybe not to honor somebody is, but not to dishonor them. You know, so is that what, you know? There's a fine line between there, right?
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, you gotta.
So we gotta be careful, you know, and
find the right.
Prabhupada said we don't know who's coming through our door. You know,
respect. And he said, oh, we should respect anyone in whatever position.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, with all due respect, people use that expression. You know, so you know, it's a little confusing sometimes. You know, I guess that's the English language. You know, there's a lot of it's called glib. You know, people are saying things without really saying things, so they don't really have a lot of significance to their word. It's like word jugglery, you know.
Yeah.
But that just kind of came to mind. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
You know how to turn this thing off, Prabhupada?
Yes, Prabhupada.
You know how to turn it off?